Now, I still can't hear you, so it must be on my side, Rox. Don't freak out. Everything will be cool. Everyone just relax. Everyone just relax. Just relax. Hold on. Let me try something else. Okay, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, no, but it's the external mic.
Okay. All right, well. All right, and Widge. Still can't hear you. Well, it sounds like she's trying to say something, but I don't make out what she's saying. See, it's... Yeah, I can hear you very faintly. Oh, that's not... It's not very nice. It's not very ladylike. Oh, well, now you're taking away offers? Is that what's happening? Okay, yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you laugh, but it's like... It's almost as though, you're with, you're in Poltergeist. What was that girl's name? I can't remember the name. Yes, there it is. And again, it sounds like you're, it sounds like you're calling from the other side of the television. All right. So we need to figure out what's wrong with your thingy-ma-doo-hickey. Have you tried unplugging and plugging it back in, whatever that thingy is? Okay, I can hear you again, and then...
How's that? Oh, but it's the externally thing. It's the internal crappy mic, right?
Well, I mean, I can hear you, but yes, it probably is.
The okay, testing now.
Oh, hey, Witch, how you doing? You sound fantastic. All right, so why don't we try this? Can you at least get a pair of headphones that plug into the little, or is it a Mac and doesn't? It's not allowed to have anything with a regular connectivity button thingy.
Oh my god! Yeah. What? Just a regular headphones?
Well, yeah, even earplugs, whatever.
Let me go get some.
Just so that we're not hearing the echo from the speaker. Well, she goes kills a
Let me get my drink. That's what I've been working on.
Wow. All right, so I got my tax return from my accountant. How do I know they did it right?
I don't know. Trust? Pixie dust?
Pixie. All right. I mean, she's like, here, check this over. Okay. It's the first time I've had to use an accountant. So, what's going on?
What's going on? What's going on?
Where'd Widgelet go?
I don't know.
All right.
Everyone, amuse yourself.
Well, all right.
In the creepiest way possible.
Wow.
Okay.
Big-ass images. She was a girl, she liked big-ass images.
Yeah.
And in other news, there's this.
Oh, sweet.
No, it's losing its punch. I don't hear like a pop and a fizz. It sounds flat.
No, it's not flat. It's a. I was going to drink some Guinness, but that was flat. So I went to some Wild Heaven Eschaton.
Okay.
Which is your friend?
My friend.
Your friend and mine.
So have we lost everyone to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I guess. Wow.
I'm beginning to think so, yes.
Yes, well, I...
Is it like season finale or something?
No, they're back.
Oh, that's why.
Well, they've been back for like two episodes, but I think everyone is wanting to see the other S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, the like Bizarro S.H.I.E.L.D. or something?
Don't know yet. I heard who was supposed to be playing the director of the other S.H.I.E.L.D., which I think is quite interesting, but...
Who's that?
Supposed to be Edward James Olmos.
Oh, he's got a job.
I am not caught up yet, so.
I don't even watch it, so, you know. I'm behind. I'm still on the latest, the Dick Sargent episodes of Bewitched.
Nice.
That's how far back I am. Yeah.
So, yeah, I actually started watching other stuff. Since I've cleared my docket of stuff like Gotham and The Following.
Oh, my God. Following's terrible. I stopped watching it. I know.
Such a shame. I actually did watch the first episode of 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, did you like it?
I thought it was pretty good. It has promise.
Yeah.
I like how they've made it extremely clear that they are diverging from the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
So I did like that. What else? I watched the first episode of that Sean Bean show on TNT, Legends.
I liked it.
What's that?
I liked it. I liked the Legends doohickey.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was kind of like, Bourne Identity meets Human Target.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I'm like, yeah, okay.
It's a good. It's almost something good to have in the background type thing.
Yes.
While you do other things, it's interesting. It's, you know, it doesn't need to hold your attention the entire time. It just, you know, sort of while you're working on other things. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
No.
Oh, okay, then never mind.
Are you just watching it to wait to see how they kill Sean Bean?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, they really need to cast him as the immortal man in the DC cinematic universe somewhere.
And then immediately kill him.
With Brian Blessed as Vandal Savage. It works. You know, it works. Yeah, and I started watching, I'm watching the first episode of Cutthroat Kitchen, finally.
What's that one? What is that? What new cooking show is that?
Alton Brown hosts it. It's actually, it came up because eons ago on one of these podcasts when I mentioned that you need to have a cooking show where you have to do whatever cooking you can with an easy bake oven.
Go ahead.
They've done that. So you can basically, you have four chefs. They start off with $25,000 a piece and they have auctions. Oh, Roxy would actually really, this is a cooking show for you. Because basically, they say, okay, like, for example, the first episode is like a turkey dinner. So you have 60 seconds to run into the pantry and grab as much stuff as you want. And then they do stuff like, well, here is a horrible grocery store processed turkey. And whoever wins the auction for this can substitute this for the other chef's turkey.
Oh, wow.
So you could screw over the other chefs.
Wow.
Yeah, one of them was you get to give this pocket knife to one of the other chefs, and they can't use any other utensils but this.
Here's a fork. Please cut. I have an Alton Brown story, actually.
Really?
He was in town. And I hang out at this coffee shop on Sunday. Called Bowlby. So I sit outside because it was a lovely day. And it's funny, celebrities, even reality show celebrities, don't dress like normal people. Even when they're trying to be casual, you can point them out. So this SUV pulls up across the street. Out comes who I think it is. And he's I swear to God, they all buy new tennis shoes wherever they go, or no dirt gets on them somehow. So he's got one of those power assistants, you know, personal assistant typing away on her phone. And then this guy who's the driver, he's like, oh, do you want me to hang out with you? He's like, yeah, whatever. So I'm out front and Alton goes to, and I'm like looking at him, so he's writing. And I say something to the personal assistant. Hey, is that who I think it is? She's without looking up, she goes, maybe. And I said, hey, I'm cool with that. And she looks at me, and I was, you know, dressed for Sunday, whatever. And I had a casual look to me, and she's like, yeah. Yeah, you are. So he goes around, and she looks up. She goes, where'd you go? And he goes, well, I thought the opening was the other side. I said, no, it's over here. So he walks by me, and I said, and you have to stand in line like everyone else. And she burst out laughing.
Because she's Rocks of Spaz House Q Inspector.
Yes. Yes.
Q Inspector.
Well, they roast their own coffee and stuff. I think I brought some to the...
What, in the car they pulled up in?
No, Bullbeam.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I think that's why they stopped at Bullbeam, because they roast their own coffee there. They have their own roaster.
Oh. So,
yeah. I took some to your Casa house. Anyway.
Cosette might have drunk most of it, because she's more particular about the coffee she drinks than I am. Is it coffee? Yes, then I'll have some.
Oh.
There's
really?
Caffeine. There's caffeine involved, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Now
we're good.
Now the I can tell the difference of high end coffees, but mostly it's just a caffeine delivery system.
Oh. All right. So you can't sense the subtle citrus and cocoa peel essence, right?
You know, I know what those words mean individually.
Put together, however.
But put together,
it's like, what?
But describing coffee, you have to understand, I started drinking coffee working at the day job, working, you know, when I was working there full-time and going to school full-time, and they had free coffee in the customer center. So I was just sucking down
Folgers.
Coffee. Something. God knows. So.
Martin's. Or something. Yeah. So I was wondering why he was in town. I never found out. So.
But
don't they film, like, isn't Food Network out of, like, Atlanta or no?
I don't know where they're located. I know Alton Brown's from here, so.
Oh, okay.
I think they're out of New York, but it seems like it would be an Atlanta thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. Everything's cheap there.
Oh, speaking of cheap, I gotta go buy my ticket for Dragon Con because it's on sale.
They are located in New York.
Wait, you didn't buy your ticket yet?
My airline ticket.
Oh, I have to. I don't know what I'm doing.
I feel like that all the time.
What does that? Yeah. What does that mean, though?
I don't know. I have until the middle of April, and then I can say I'm doing this or I'm not doing this.
Yeah, so Rox, I think the confusion is that we all just assume that like in Fight Club, when you fall asleep, you turn into like Dark Rox of Spaz House or something.
Yeah.
A surrealism version of Tyler Durden.
Oh,
yes.
Maybe when you're asleep, you're Banksy.
Oh, wow. Too bad I don't have Banksy's bank account.
Banksy's bank account.
No, if you say it three times, it's not going to appear in the mirror, John.
Yeah.
There's always hope.
I know.
Is there? Is there really?
No, not really.
There is only Zool.
Oh, speaking of which, did you guys see the trailer for Pixels?
I did. Now, is that really what's his name? The Japanese?
Yeah, that's actually the creator of Pac-Man making a cameo.
Wow, that is cool. That's actually cool that they sort of did it first, you know.
Yeah, I was fine with it, except for when it looks like you've got Adam Sandler and Kevin James as some kind of 80s gamer version of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But still, the concept of seeing giant video games trying to destroy the world, I mean, it's kind of like a no-lose Adam Sandler proposition.
I know. I was thrilled when they you know, you saw them fighting Centipede. Love Centipede.
Yeah, I can I'm hoping that they're saving some surprises. Like, I would love to see Tempest.
Pole Position.
Oh, God. Can you imagine a subterranean attack by Dig Dug? There you go.
Oh, burger time.
Oh, Jesus. Would be hilarious.
Oh, my God. You know what would be really funny is if for some weird reason it skips, like, it's litany of here are the 80s video games. And you switch over to the 90s, and all of a sudden you're having to deal with Silent Hill.
That's Pixels 2.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. You get the like really obscure. I wonder if that's how they kill the big boss at the end. Is they go to they basically force it to a kill screen.
Yeah.
Everyone who's seen King of Kong would understand and appreciate.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my God, that would be so funny of having that kid scream out, "Daddy, come wipe my butt."
Hey, has anybody seen the Avengers trailer, the last trailer?
The television spot?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
The all action all the time spot.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
I am too.
Considering that last time they showed a crap ton of footage and I was having so much fun, I didn't care. So, yeah, I'm good. So, now, the rumor about who's going to direct Infinity War is interesting. Have you heard this?
Oh, no, I have not. Do speak, sir.
The Russo brothers, the guys who did Winter Soldier.
Huh.
I mean, if Whedon wants to move on, which I can understand, based on Winter Soldier, shit, I'd let him do it. I enjoyed the hell out of Winter Soldier.
I would too. But it's two brothers?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they wrote and directed Winter Soldier. They're doing Civil War. And then potentially moving on to Infinity War.
Oh.
Now, Infinity War is the next Avenger?
Yes. At the next two Avengers. They're doing a part one and part two.
Yeah. I remember that part.
Yeah. Which makes sense because you've got so much Infinity stuff to draw from. You could make a hell of a showing of it, especially if the second part is the battle. But, yeah, I'm going to be interested to see that the other thing that Whedon has said is that we haven't seen all the Avengers that are actually in the movie.
That is interesting. I have heard that. So are we thinking it's Spider-Man then?
Well, what I've heard is that they're going to bring Spider-Man in on Civil War.
That's what I heard too, and I think that's like almost completely established.
Okay. But he could do a cameo in this one.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if they don't do
it. Well, how is that? Are they getting a pass from Sony? How is it working?
Sony and them are working together. And so apparently the deal is that they're again rebooting Spider-Man, if you're not aware. But this time Marvel is going to work on it. But Sony still has distribution rights and the final say. But of course, if you're smart and you're Sony, which are not necessarily, it's not necessarily a given that both those are true, you would say, okay, Marvel, do whatever you're going to do. Do your magic, and we'll just go ahead and take that money. Thank you.
Oh.
Which, like Lee said, she said that would happen. So, well done her.
Wow. Well, she should be thrilled. They have, you know, the official X-Files returning for 6 parts. So they'll screw up 6 parts.
Oh, is it official that they are actually returning? I know that there was talks.
Yeah.
It's official.
Oh, wow. Yeah. 6 parts, so, though? Where was it going to air?
What?
Is it like a BBC run? What the heck's going on there?
I don't know. Hold on.
I assume it's Fox, because Fox is the one that said they were in talks with it. But I guess my understanding, too, is that that Last Man on Earth is a limited run as well.
Oh, I haven't, you know, I could only watch a part of that show, and I lost.
Which episode did you start with?
The first one. That's it.
Really? And you couldn't get through that? The first one was incredible. Actually, it's been really good. I think it's, given the amount of kind of what you have to work with, basically, well, in the first episode, you're working with one actor, right?
Yeah.
It's really well done. It's funny, and it's, you know, it's a lot of things that you don't see on normal broadcast television. And,
right.
You know, and a lot of, he doesn't, no spoiler here because it's in the trailers, he doesn't stay alone forever. He's not the lone man. He is the last man on Earth, yes.
Okay.
But it also isn't why, so.
Okay.
They aren't going to that extreme. But no. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it a lot. It's there is a funny part where I think it was in the first episode where he's talking about how he's watching Tom Hanks. What's it called?
Castaway. Castaway. Yes,
I saw
that.
Oh, that's unreasonable. That's cut to the next cut to the next scene. He's talking to all sorts of balls and he's drawing pictures faces.
Yes.
On. He's slowly
Andre.
Going insane.
Yeah. I liked Andre.
If you had no consequences and you didn't give a crap and you're the last person on Earth, I mean, he's stolen all these great works of art that he's, you know, he's throwing around the house like they're nothing, and you know, he's the last person on Earth. Who cares?
Yeah.
Well, that was the there was a great comic book. It was short-lived, but it was called Living with Zombies, and it was about two guys during the zombie apocalypse who basically do what you would do, which is, you know, go raid the comic book store, drive a monster truck through town, mowing down zombies, stealing a katana blade, and this is actually before Walking Dead, and running around with no pants on. It was just ridiculous.
Sure, why
and
not?
Funny.
Yeah,
why not?
Speaking of Walking Dead, I am not caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D., but I am caught up on Walking Dead.
Yeah.
What is Rick's problem? Is slipping into madness again? I thought he had escaped that after getting out of the, I guess it was before going into the prison, really.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. The fact that the Alexandrians basically got Noah killed, spoilers by the way, Noah killed and Tara gravely injured, that they simply don't understand what they're dealing with in the world, mm-hmm. And the fact that he has got the hots for Jesse, which I think is happening a lot faster than it did in the comic, but it's been years since I read that arc, so I don't quite remember.
It did seem really quick.
Well, it seemed been really lonely.
it seemed creepily quick. You know what I mean? And besides, I think Michonne would throw him something, don't you?
Oh.
Come on.
Now you're getting into Lee territory.
I'm writing the fanfic right now.
Wow.
Warning.
But no, it did seem really crazy, really quick. But again, I have read a lot of the beginning part of the comic book. So I'm, you know, I only kind of got, I can't even remember where I got to in that. Maybe to the prison. But is this all sort of still sort of in the comic book, or is it all completely new?
No, it's not completely. In fact, the whole Aaron Fever posted on Facebook the panels from the comic book that they used for the end of the last episode were basically Michonne Clock's Rick. No, the whole Alexandria thing, that's in there. Deanna's a guy in the comic, but I mean, when you can get Tova Felcha to be in your show, that's pretty awesome. And yeah, I mean, a lot of where we are right now is where we are in the comic. The biggest difference is the personnel, because there never was a Noah, at least not that I remember. May have been a smaller character that they just changed. Of course, there's no Daryl, and there's no spoilers for the comic. There's no Carol at this point. So, and there's no Sasha in the comic. So, you've got different people there, but they're mostly on target with what the comic was doing about this time. But I don't believe there was ever a thing. Oh, and you had no Tara, so you had all these different people. But I don't think there was this whole thing of taking runs.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, like when they took
Noah out.
Yeah. Which I'm like, you're taking out the guy with the limp? What was that about?
Well, I mean, you had to get rid of him. He's not in the comic, so therefore.
Well, I mean.
Were you here when she called?
Scott's at your grand. Oh, he just muted it.
Oh. Yeah, okay, so. What was I going to ask? But it's funny you should mention that panel, because I didn't see him the post on Facebook. I haven't been on Facebook in a while. Oh, hello. When I saw the episode and after she clocked Rick, I got the immediate feeling that this was right out of a panel somewhere. I mean, it just felt like it was from a comic book.
Yeah, my understanding is they were using certain panels from the comic book to line up shots, like they did at the end of the prison sequence, which I absolutely loved.
So where does it go from here? Is it
now that all the children are growing up? Sorry. Anyway, I can't tell you.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Scott. Was your grandmother about to vacuum in the background?
No, she just had something to tell me.
Okay. Was it that you're adopted?
Oh, I wish. It would explain so much, but no.
Oh. So we were just catching up on television.
Yeah, I heard the Walking Dead, and I was like, yeah, I better not interrupt.
Oh, that's true. I did watch something else. I tried to watch something else.
Which is what?
Dig, the Jason Isaacs.
Oh, I didn't even bother.
Well, like Jason Isaacs.
That looked like low rent Darren, what's his face? No, not Darren, Dan Brown.
Dan Brown, yeah.
Well, I like Jason Isaacs. So I gave it about, yeah, I gave it the first episode and I lasted 14 minutes and then I quit. So I tried. I really did.
Has anybody watched The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No, but I keep hearing things about it.
It's did you ever watch 30 Rock? And if so, did you enjoy it?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it was a very sick show.
30 Rock?
Very, very fast-paced and very lots of great lines in it.
It's the same thing. It's by Tina Fey. It's written by Tina Fey. If you think about it, the premise of it's really creepy, because essentially it's the story of this, well, a couple of girls who were abducted when they were like 13 or 14, maybe even earlier than that. But anyway, and held underground by, I'm not going to spoil it with who was holding them underground, but by this.
Now you mean underground as actually under the ground?
In a bunker, yes.
Okay.
Yes. and they're held underground, and then they eventually escape, and that's where the comedy starts.
Is this executive produced by Eli Roth or something?
One would think. I mean, and the deal is that the song, which sticks in your head for days, the theme song, is essentially, you know, like auto-tune the news. It's yeah. One of those things, you know. And it's, you know, this guy out there saying that, you know, those women are unbreakable, you know, something like that. I don't know, some crazy thing. It's like, they're alive! And it just auto-tuned all. But anyway, it sticks in your head. And but every time it reminds you how this show actually starts. So at one point you go, well, okay, we're four episodes in, you know, we don't need to really we can use the fact that she was underground and hasn't been out since the 90s as, you know, background, but let's stop acknowledging the fact that she was basically abducted and held against her will for 15 years underground, and even at one point she says, well, yeah, there was weird sexual things that went on. It's like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah, John wanted details.
No, it's not that. It's just that you would think that.
Oh, please, comedy, you wanted details.
But my point being, is yes, it's very entertaining. It does have a very dark twist undertone, if you will. I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed there's, you know, there's 13 episodes or whatever. I've burned through all of those pretty quickly, because,
well, it has Carol Kane in it, so that automatically makes it go.
Oh, Carol Kane is freaking, I mean, as she is always, but she is freaking hilarious. She's really, really good.
Yeah, she was fantastic when as the Penguin's mom on Gotham. Huh?
Excuse me. I was trying not to talk into the microphone while I was eating a chip. But she was on Gotham.
Yeah.
I did not know that because I gave up on Gotham pretty quickly. So.
Well, she showed up later. She was, like I said, the Penguin's mom.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm sure you could find the scenes on YouTube and save yourself.
Hours of Disappointment?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Gotham.
I like it.
I was just telling John that Carol Kane is on that.
Oh my god, yeah. And she plays the same character she all play, you know, she plays everywhere. But
you never get sick of it.
No, you don't.
Well, I was asking them, have you watched The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No.
No, okay.
What's it on?
On Netflix. It's a Netflix original. Apparently,
what's it about?
Yeah, okay. It's written by Tina Fey and her husband. Created by Tina Fey and her husband. And it's about this girl who, when she was early, she was like a teenager, like early teens. She was abducted and another girl was abducted and stuck into a bunker underground. For 15 years until she was finally rescued by some SWAT team. And she was down there with a doomsday priest saying, you know, that the world had already ended. There was no world outside. And so for 15 years, she was tortured. And then the comedy ensues.
Wow.
It is actually really funny, believe it or not. Even though you, if you preface it like that, you're like, "What the hell is it?" No, it's actually really humorous.
Yeah.
And
spine kidnapping, everybody.
Exactly.
All right. I'll try it out.
You should. It's very interesting. I'm surprised you haven't tried it already, because, I mean, Facebook and Twitter were all abuzz about it.
Really?
But apparently NBC, oddly enough, NBC passed on it because it was a pilot for them, and they passed on it. And Netflix said, "Okay, we'll take it." But
I'm not surprised. It seems a bit edgy for NBC.
But yeah, but it's Tina Fey, and you had just lost 30 Rock, and you know that it was like one of only a couple of shows that were any good.
Well, you know what happened? They saw this and they were like, "Wait a minute, this isn't for SVU." Well, fuck this.
Well, let me ask, has anybody watched Community on Yahoo yet?
Nah.
Yeah. Were you guys community watchers in the first place or no?
No.
No.
Oh, well, I was. So. No, it's still just as good. Has it? Well, now since I'm going down this rabbit hole, has anybody watched the Dan Harmon documentary, Harmontown, which is actually more about his podcast than anything, but.
Oh, is that where he goes back to this town and where he grew up? Is that one?
No. It's basically takes place, you know, he has his podcast that he does.
Right.
And then, you know, famously on his podcast is when he drunkenly released the voicemail that he got from Chevy Chase calling him a hack, a bastard, you know, whatever.
All of that stuff that
Chevy Chase is famous for calling people. Basically being a turd. It basically follows his tour of his podcast. He went from town to town doing it live at various bars, and it's completely enthralling. And I don't listen to his podcast or anything, but it's really enthralling because he is obviously very self-destructive, and and he even said, he says so. He thinks he's a screw up, but at the end, of course, he gets it ends with him being basically hired back to the show that he created. Because it went to Yahoo and it's a really, really interesting. It's called Harmontown, and it's on Netflix. I think it might also be a Netflix original. Netflix is doing a lot of really cool stuff.
Yes, they are,
obviously, but let's see, the other thing that we started watching, my wife and I started watching the other day, was Bloodline, which is Kyle Chandler, I think that's his name, from Friday Night Lights. That's really good, too. I'm actually surprised to see this much quality content, which is surprising because you'd think that, okay, the networks have all the money. Why aren't they producing this stuff?
Because they're based on getting money from advertisers and using the lowest common denominator. Netflix doesn't have to do that.
I guess so.
Yeah, but a lot of their stuff is now being produced, and then other, places are picking them up.
Well, yeah, and they also...
Right? It's like Hannibal. NBC doesn't produce it, right?
A lot of studios used to do that. Not as much anymore since, it's cheap. If the show is really good, they'll pick it up from another source, but usually they'll either give a show that they own more time or be nicer to it if it is from their own studio, not somebody else.
Netflix is also doing that thing where they are buying things that aren't released in America and claiming them as Netflix originals in America.
Well, it's new to us.
Yeah, that's true.
So what are they grabbing?
Oh, various BBC properties mostly. I don't know, is Peaky Blinders an original for them? Did they create that, or is it?
I think it was co-produced.
Peaky Blinders. Oh, well, it's on season 3, so it can't I guess it is already ones and two. Let's see, where is that? Okay, 2013. Yeah, no, it was produced by somebody else first. And then they bought it, and if you look at it, it's listed as a Netflix original.
And they're also approved a series, The Man in High Castle.
That was Amazon.
That's Amazon.
Shit.
Yeah, it's Amazon.
Who can tell anymore? I'm sorry.
But you know what? Freaking Amazon too is doing the same thing. I mean, that you're right. I assume that you have watched the trailer or the pilot for Man in the High Castle, right?
Yes, it was actually very impressive. They awesome. Seem to keep the spirit of the book without being so slavish to it that they can't handle it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I'm not giving anything away if you've seen the pilot. The grasshopper lives heavy in the show are newsreels, mm-hmm. not a book.
Okay.
But for a television show, it's much more of a visual way to represent what it is than a book. So it seems like they're making smart choices of where to diverge to make it, in terms of its new medium, from going from like a book to television. It looks amazing.
It looked great. It looked fantastic. Peaky Blinders.
It does seem... Sorry.
Real quick, Peaky Blinders was actually a BBC Two series from 2013, and then Netflix picked it up and aired it over here, if you will, wherever here is, because here is the internet, as a quote unquote Netflix original. So, I mean, and they did that. They also did that with, well, let's go back.
They did that Arrested, with Lillehammer, was that way.
And Arrested Development.
Yes.
Arrested Development was somebody else's thing.
And apparently they picked up The Fall, which I think is a Gillian Anderson show from across the pond.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yes. They're on series two, which the first series was good. I started watching the first episode of this. Southcliffe is supposed to be really good.
And I still haven't watched any of The Returned. I have.
It is interesting. Like Netflix is saying, you know, with Netflix, they know that sooner or later, a lot of these studios bitchier about putting their stuff on Netflix, so they know they need to have alternate revenue streams in case, like, a major studio says, "Well, fuck you, we'll go to somebody else," so they won't be left high and dry.
Well,
like going to Hulu or something,
or. It'd be hard now to start a new service, but they could conceivably do it.
Oprah could start her own service.
I could service Oprah. Oh, wait a minute, what?
Oprah, everyone in the audience,
that's what she has Gail for.
Ooh, Scott.
Oh, sorry, I meant Stedman. Stedman, sure. Right. Beard.
Well, if she married him, it would be. Otherwise, she's not fooling anybody.
But no, it is. This is a very interesting. I mean, it started with HBO, where they're totally non-dependent on advertisers. You know, it is straight. You know what people want. It's, you know, they don't have to be bound by what'll be popular to warrant a television commercial, stuff like that. So it is a very interesting where we could go with this.
Speaking of which, given that HBO is now going to be available basically cable subscription free, are you on board?
Am I what?
Are you on board, at least for certain periods of the year?
Well, I'm
well,
like...
you know what's happening.
No, yeah. That's what he's saying.
No, not that. It's like the HBO Go thing is only going to be available on Apple TV for the first 3 months. And you know what those 3 months are? Game of Thrones.
Right. No, the Apple app, real quick, HBO Go will still be available where it's available. HBO Go is if you have the subscription. HBO Now is the... I think it's called HBO Now, but it's titled differently than HBO Go. But yeah, you can have it. It's only Apple TV, and the reasoning for doing it that way, by the way, is two things. One, it's Apple, but two, Apple TV is it's only exclusive for the launch. But Apple TV doesn't have that big of a install base, so you don't have to worry about getting that service hammered to death right away. And on the upside, then Apple gets the benefit of saying, hey, it's available here. Go come buy our stuff. But yeah, so
in other words, it's like a soft opening.
Kinda.
Like before the grand opening, they're having like this little soft opening to see how it works.
Well, it's like video games. Video games do this a lot where it's a launch exclusive. You know, like, I don't know, say Battlefield or something, is only available on Xbox 360, but only available on Xbox 360 for, like, the first several months, and then it's available on all the other platforms.
Dude, Xbox One.
Whatever.
Where have you been?
He's been having a life.
So
he's got children. He should know
children.
Better.
So are you gonna buy in or what?
Widge. Well, it depends on what it costs.
$15 a month.
That seems reasonable, especially if there's other stuff on there I want to watch.
When does True Detective come back?
You'll get their entire catalog, plus same night delivery of anything that airs that night. So, in other words, when Game of Thrones airs on Sunday nights, it will be available on that service that night.
But what time?
I think it's like the immediately after the run on the television. Like that hour. Like, so it runs from, I believe it's 9 to 10. At least it has been in the past.
Yeah.
So then at 10 o'clock it would be available on the service.
That's pretty cool. And I tell you, the other thing that beyond Game of Thrones and True Detective, Last Week Tonight is just fantastic.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Oh, I always see that. I always get that on YouTube. And yeah, it's great, but then it's like, God, things are even more fucked up than I thought.
Is Scott Robo for anyone else?
Yeah. He was.
He's always like
He's back, though.
Okay, hold on a second.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Just went that way for a moment. You're fine.
Auto-tune the Scott. I would love somebody to do an auto-tuned remix of Scott from all these various episodes.
Yeah.
So what else is going on, Widge?
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've watched. Because I've been trying to go through and watch some of the series that I have just been
all right, Fargo.
Unable to get to.
Fargo.
Slacking.
No progress on Fargo.
All right.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Well, because partly my desktop melted, and so I was a little bit busy reconstructing everything, including all the video in the house.
Ooh.
So tell the tale. Tell the tale. What happened?
Well, basically, I have a PC that has more power in it than I thought I would ever need. Well, Scott, I remember when, you know, on the PC, it was like, wow, we have two diskette drives now. Now we don't have to swap out diskettes every time it asks for it. We have a B drive. Holy shit. That's amazing.
Oh, I know. But that's what I'm saying. It's like you think you're going to think, oh, yeah, this is more power than I'm ever going to need. And it just –
No, I knew it was going to die eventually. But, yeah, I've had it since, like, 2009. So the drive was a good soldier. It honored me, but I got one of those errors saying at any moment I could die. You might want to do something starting now. And it was at that moment that I realized, oh, I don't think my crash plan has been working for the past 4 days. So it was a bit of a bit crazy. So I went and got another hard drive, pulled the stuff off the old drive that I needed, and then installed Windows on it first, then put it in with the other drive, pulled the stuff off, and so now I'm operating with a new C drive. And Windows 8, so there you go.
And how are you liking Windows 8?
Once you take away all the stuff that makes it Windows 8, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that was my experience.
So,
like all the
when I first started, I was like, what the hell is all this shit? Okay, desktop. Oh, I know what this is.
So if you have a tablet, Windows 8 is fabulous. But if you're using it as, you know, a laptop or a primary, you know, PC operating system, yes. All those doodickies? Yeah, doodickies are all... Calm down, Scott. Are all kind of get in the way, right? So
yeah, and here's the thing too. I can understand a tablet, but I don't know if anybody's got one of those laptops with a touch screen on it.
I do.
Seems you do. Yeah. So John, how badly smeared does that screen get if you've been touching it? Notice I said screen.
I actually never touched the one on my laptop. It is almost useless because as I'm reaching across to touch it, I realize, hey, I have a mouse and a keyboard.
I know. And if you had a track point, you wouldn't even need the mouse and your hands wouldn't leave the keyboard.
That is true. I do have a trackpad on here, too.
I hate the trackpads. Oh, I like do. The track points.
I hate them, too. Oh, the point. Oh, no. The point is my nemesis. Oh, I
really?
Hate that thing. I hate that thing to death.
That little dot?
The knobby? Yeah, the nipple? Yeah.
Yeah, that's creepy.
I mean...
How long has it been around, that little...
It's not really around anymore. I think Lenovo is the only company that still uses it.
Oh, no, it's on my... I just got a laptop from Dell for work. A brand new one, and it has it on there.
Really?
Yeah. I had to go in and disable it because it's driving me nuts. I mean, I like playing with nipples, but not that kind.
I love the track point. In fact, the only reason I don't have one on my PC keyboard is I have to have a split keyboard. Otherwise, my wrists will explode.
Hmm. I'd like to see that.
No.
I like to see Rich fingering that nipple.
So I have I have the laptop that I use. It's, the one that I bring to Dragon Con, which has the one that I run I record the stuff off of and run the soundboard off of. But in theory, the soundboard would be nice because, hey, if I did – actually, let me try that right now. Let me see if I can actually just push it on the page. Let's see. Hold on.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, apparently that works.
That's good shit.
So that would be great, except yet, like I said, I also have a mouse that does the same exact thing.
Oh, shit.
So –
He looks dirty.
He does. I don't know why the volume is so low on that thing, though. There it is. It is way down. Let's try this again. Let's see.
He looks dirty.
Yeah, okay, that's better.
Oh, God, that's loud.
Oh, I'm going to recommend that would be too loud.
Oh, what? Yes, what?
Trailer Park Boys. I love that show.
Oh, God, I can't stand it.
Really?
What is this? What?
Oh, it's in its seventh season. It's from Canada, and it's these three guys. They live in a trailer park, and they're always trying to swindle their neighbors and stuff. Their names Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles.
Of course they are.
Yes, and anyway, this one guy has a goldfish named Orangey, which changes out all the time. Nobody works, but it's just crazy. It's fun. You know, like one guy's got a bar in one of the he's converted one of the trailers into, an establishment. And I like it. Why don't you like it, John? Base humor.
I don't know. It's
too much trailer trash.
Having grown up in Pinellas Park, Florida. I may know those people well, way too much to enjoy. Enjoy the show.
Oh, so you can recognize them.
I can recognize them, but they aren't nearly as interest. They aren't nearly as happy-go-lucky, if you will. But even though I know they really aren't.
For most of us, it's like observing exotic wildlife.
Right.
For you, it's like it was your neighbors.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. In real life, those people are really sad, and so it does remind me of those things. That's probably what it is, really.
So, Rox, he's basically looking at that and going, "There, but for the grace of Cthulhu, go I."
Yeah,
exactly. Had I been born 2 days later, I would have been in the trailer. But no, that's not, I don't know what all that means.
What? Just 2 days?
Yes, just 2 days.
Here's where Daddy was born. Lone trailer park.
And my mom swallowed that night. Wait, what?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Damn. Hello.
What?
Oh, please. I've said worse about my mom.
I actually love my mom, though.
That reminds me. I got...
Oh, you're going to tell something about your mom's
guy. Oh, my God.
This is awful. No, well, it's kind of. I got a friend of mine in Faust listening to Weekend Justice.
Okay.
Hi, friend of Scott.
Yeah, hi, Sarah. And she actually listened to the one where I told the story about me carting around my mom in the wheelchair around Epcot. And she thought it was the funniest damn thing. My mother, who says you she's handicapped.
Oh, okay, hold on. All right, hold on. Wait, let me put it in. Let me put it into the.
But she also said that she got like a line on a new show and a new author to listen to. So you know we're out. No.
Well, come on, jazz it up.
You know, after you revealed that, the Disney police have been after your mom.
I know.
They want you for questioning.
Yes, there's. You have a most wanted poster of Scott.
That means I could be in trouble as your wheel man.
Line jumping. Oh, okay. So Scott, so her in the wheelchair, did she get to the front of the line on stuff? Like that Figment ride?
How it works.
The ride that's not really there?
Correct.
You
yeah.
only imagine
yeah.
it's there? Come on.
How it works is actually for wheelchairs, they bring you in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will actually, on some of
yeah,
them, they
it's
will
on
slow
a
down
chair.
The ride. You know how, what?
I said, yeah, it's on a chair. That's how they bring you in.
No. They take a separate way. And then, you know how sometimes the ride will stop for like a second and then it'll start back up?
Yeah.
It's not a fault. It is them slowing down the ride to put the wheelchair person in.
Most of the time.
But how long's the wait? That's the important thing. How long's the wait?
Oh, hardly.
Right. They there's a and Disney's changed their stance on that, by the way.
To what? You must have both legs removed.
Oh, no, you basically no, you have to wait the same amount of time that anybody else would.
But okay, so
we did not do that.
I know, but if you're going in a separate way.
Well, hold on.
Yes.
And there's nobody in front of you.
Yes.
Hold on. No. What they do is that one of your party has to, my understanding is that now their policy is that one of your party has to stand in line. And then they bring you up to the front of the line, but when your party gets there, then you can board the ride. The reason being is, I don't know if you remember this, but a couple of years ago,
hiring handicapped people.
Oh, there's a travel agency that was selling handicapped people.
Yes.
To get people going to Disney World so they could get to the front of the line.
I missed out on that scam.
And so they had to change their policy around that because they couldn't continue to obviously.
Well, you know how they got caught, right? They got caught by
they advertised
people. Well, almost that. A lot of the people up in New York were. Like saying, "Oh, you want this handicapped person?"
Right.
So they were. I don't know if they were going with. They were actually. Some of them were actually contacting the handicapped person directly.
I don't remember the middle man. We got in pretty quickly. I mean, the lines weren't terrible, but we got in.
How long ago was this?
I told the story like a few weeks ago.
Okay, was it?
Was we don't it listen to the show, Scott.
Was it
you know
because
that.
It had just happened, or because you remembered it? I don't remember this. I mean, I remember the story, but I don't remember
this. I was in Disney like in February, and I told the story
on
the show.
Here. Okay, hold on. There's a continuation of this. Oh, server's busy apparently at Disney World. That's interesting. There's a continuation of this. It looks like they were sued.
By handicapped people?
Yeah. In April of last year, they were sued. Let's see why. Because they
changed... Hey, what's that monkey hanging? What's that monkey, John, behind you? What is that? Bring it to the thing. To the video screen. Who's is that? It's a little monkey.
I don't know. It's just.
Oh, is it Lamb Shop?
No, it's just.
Oh, what is that?
Monkey.
Dog.
Okay, so check this out.
All right.
Disney is facing allegations of discrimination with a lawsuit charging that modifications to the company's policy for accommodating people with disabilities at its theme park violates the Americans with Disability Act. Okay, so here's my question.
Yeah.
How is it? Okay, look, I'm going to look to the sweeping change. How is it that treating them as though they weren't disabled equally, how is that a violation of their rights?
That's a good question. As the ADA regulations go, you're just supposed to be able to, and again, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on the internet. I thought it was that you had to have like equal access.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they weren't preventing anybody from doing it. Okay. So going back to 2013, October 2013, the Disney is offering new details about the changes to its policy, blah, blah, blah. Starting Wednesday, this is back in October again, 2013, Disney parks in Florida and California will roll out a new pass known as Disability Access Service Card for visitors with special needs who are not able to wait in traditional lines, and it will replace a guest assistance card. Basically, okay, so it comes after people abused and exploited the original program, and Disney said the problems were widespread and growing at an alarming rate. A new program will not have to wait in line, but will instead be given a return time for each ride. Okay, so there it is. Return time for each ride based on the current wait times. So, to me, that sounds reasonable.
And that did not happen.
Yeah. Well,
it's basically like the
Fast Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flash. Well, Scott, flash forward 6 months, and Disney gets sued over it because they changed their policy. But again, it's a private company, and they weren't eliminating people, saying you can't ride the ride. They're just saying you have to wait the same amount of time that everybody else does. But apparently.
Well, the one thing I would say is that the whole idea of you're there at the basically the front of the line for the disabled access, you're right there, and you're having to wait for somebody to go through the line.
Well, that's not what the policy was. So I had misspoke earlier.
Okay.
The policy is they give you a return time. So basically, you go say, okay, I've got this card. Okay, give me the return time. You come back in an hour. You don't have to wait in line. You just go up to the front, but you do have to wait an hour.
Okay.
Your whole party can wait an hour. It's just you can't go all there at the same time.
I'm wondering if it has the same limitation as the Fast Pass, which means you can only get a certain amount of them at a time.
Right. Yeah, that we did. But the other thing was I did not go with my mother to get the wheelchair. So I don't know if she did anything special to – she has a thing. You know, she actually has a thing saying, I'm disabled, I need this. So they gave her, like, the wheelchair and shit. So there may have been something more that she had to do that I'm not aware of. All I know is I had to cart her fast ass around Epcot.
Okay, so here's the other thing too. The lawsuit that was filed in April of last year alleges that Disney has a secret offering known as the Magic List, whereby the company extends to select individual 5 passes to gain immediate access to rides without even obtaining the disability access card. Okay, so I don't understand why, but these people were seeking damages and looking to compel Disney to alter its policies and practices. But again, they weren't not complying with ADA.
Yeah, unless we're missing something, this just sounds like we're bitching because we lost our privileges.
Right. Well, and you know what? I don't think it's Disney, for crying out loud. They still do their thing for the disabled, and especially for, you know, like autistic kids and whatnot. But it's not like they turn them. They obviously take care of those kids. I mean, they want them around. But you also got to weigh that out with the fact that they're correct, because, you know, it seemed Disney's going to have the numbers there that say, okay, look, last year we had, you know. 2% of our attendance was disabled. All of a sudden, it's 20%. What the hell's going on here? Especially now that we find out that these other people are hiring folks to be "quote unquote" disabled for faster access. So, you know,
okay,
kind of
listeners, if you are or know anybody who is a lawyer or deals with disability
subjects, please send us an email at which?
Scott C. at needcoffee.com.
Yeah, sure, what the hell. To explain what we're missing, because we are so sorely
now
ignorant of the law, except for...
Scott is sorely.
Yeah.
I guess...
Busy
I guess...
weekend. I was going to say that Rox is not ignorant in the law, but that's only in criminal law, so we need something for civil law.
Sorry.
So having talked to the folks over at Dragon Con for the last, I don't know how many years, in the Disability Services Department, it sounds like this is basically the same policy that they have at Dragon Con, which is, okay, we're not going to ask you what your disability is. We're just going to assume that if you're coming here, your disability is valid, because A, under the ADA, I don't think you can ask, but B, it's also, you know, everyone has their own various things. They do ask certain questions to figure out what your limitations are. But the deal,
what's the term? Reasonable accommodation.
Right. But the deal is, you don't just get to go to the front of the line. I know that's the perception. You don't get to go to the front of the line. You can sit outside of the line in certain cases. You don't get to be at the front of the audience either, necessarily. It's just... They try to make sure that you're comfortable and that you have the right accommodations, as you said. So it sounds like that's just basically the same thing. They're not trying to because people would abuse the system, right? At some point, someone would go, "Oh, you know, I can't stand up for more than 2 hours." When in fact, they probably can perfectly, but because they would get all these special treatment, all the special treatment, then sure. I would, be tempted to abuse the system as well. I guess my point here is that this is going on in other places where it's saying, okay, we're gonna try to make you comfortable, but we're also not going to give you an advantage over everybody else. You're going to be the same.
We're going to level the playing field.
Right. And, we're not expecting you to stand in line for 2 hours waiting to ride Peter Pan. But you do need to come back in 2 hours if you want to get back on the ride. And I'm sure it's, again, like the Fast Pass thing. It's just, come back within a half an hour of this particular time and you can jump right on. I don't
know. Yeah, and it's any time after that. Because, if you show up after your slot, they'll let you on. So, you're good. You can go sit in line for something else.
Yeah.
The Fast Pass is genius.
Yeah. Have you tried the Magic Bands yet? Did you?
No, I have not.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
Yeah, I just have the card.
I don't know. They're scary.
So that was your legal hour.
They can find you anywhere in the park.
They can find you anywhere anyway. They're always following you, Rox.
Are they?
Yes.
That's why I don't go there.
They're following you anyway. The off chance that you do go there. They're following you right now.
Well, they are. I had an airship around my property.
Yeah, I saw that.
For a weekend, yes.
Now, are you sure it was just one of your lost ones coming home?
No.
Lost ones.
Totally you didn't hear like something in the air going, Mommy.
Mommy, I want to come home. Oh, look. Somebody dropped a sack of flour out.
Oh God.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rox has to go in disguise.
I do.
But there you go. There's an episode of what is that? Face Off?
For
makeup. Yeah. Get Rox past Disney security. That is your task for this episode.
Yeah.
You can pitch that. There's a YouTube series for you.
I'd hate to be the one who has to search Rox's bag.
Help Rox elude the authorities.
It's all knowing how to, it's like, oh, look, they're books. They're fine.
Yeah,
I'd imagine the other guy looking is like, where'd Steve go? And Rox is going, oh, he went on break. And there's a slight rustling of the bag.
Oh, man. Ooh, a bag of unlimited holding.
The show will be called I'm Rox of Spaz House, Get Me Through Here.
That's right.
I don't know why it's dark in here.
You will need to do something about your fingerprints because they check that shit now.
What? Wait, what?
Yeah, they do fingerprints.
Yeah, they scan at the entrance your fingerprint. You put your index finger on there, and then they capture it and store it in their database so that they know that you're the only one that can use that pass.
Wait.
Although I've seen some fingerprint scanners in the past, and I wonder how truly accurate that.
Wait a minute. If you don't have your fingerprints fingerprinted in a database.
Well, no, they're creating a database.
Oh, God, I'm not going there. Jesus. I need to keep my
Rocks, we live in Florida. We have no choice.
You have to go.
It's either Disney or Voldemort.
But you know
Disney
what?
Disney is a lesser of two evils.
Scott, there was an episode, I think, was it Get Smart that had the fake the fingerprints?
All spy stuff has done that over the years.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, I'm sorry. It's either Disney or Rick Scott. I'm sorry. It's Disney.
I'm not going there. Jeez.
Or you could go to Holy Land.
Holy Land.
Oh, that place is scary.
You're dealing
that place
with
is a whole other level of scary.
International cult of weirdos.
Scott, do they have an official Pride Day there? They should have an impromptu Pride Day.
That would be amazing.
Just show up. Hey.
Scott, I think that should be your new project.
Oh my God, a Mickey Faust project, Scott.
Go there and shadow the people
Scott. Yeah. You guys can wear like Jesus robes the Jesus sash could be a rainbow sash.
We'll have to do research to see if we do stuff like that, if they can like get us arrested and shit, because I don't want to get arrested.
But they already have your fingerprints.
Not Holy Land, Disney.
You know, one little quick jump and, you know, Holy Land will have your fingerprints.
I don't think Disney shares that with, I don't think Disney and just even want to look at Holy Land.
I don't want Disney knowing where I live.
They already do.
No, they don't.
They're their own little country. Don't you realize that?
That airship never found me. I'm just saying, Scott.
Spaz House is invisible to all people trying to locate it. Drones fly past there. No idea. They're lost.
Yeah. However, oh, my God, this is my latest thing, though. So I have a very large front yard, as which will tell you. So at the front, I have, you know, outdoor, you know, table and whatnot. So, like the troll that owns the bridge, I now talk to the pedestrians walking by, and I'll ask about their t-shirt that they're wearing, and I posted this on Facebook. So this guy, he's around 20-something, and he's walking with his dad, and he's got a Green Lantern t-shirt on. And I said, and I just called him like, hey, what's Green Lantern's real name? And the guy froze. And he went, Hal Jordan. I'm like, okay, you can continue wearing that shirt. His dad burst out laughing. So I got to come up with some more, you know, trivia for pedestrians walking by Spaz House.
So if somebody's wearing a polo shirt, do you ask him about official rules for the sport?
Yes.
If somebody's wearing a Nizod shirt, do you ask them about alligators and their natural habitat?
No, I just ask them if they are wranglers down at the alligator farm in St. Augustine.
Or ask them when the University of Florida was founded.
Ooh, that's a good one, Scott. Yes.
Yeah, got to think laterally.
Yeah.
Or you can ask them if the polo shirt, you can ask them when the polio vaccine was invented.
I like that one better.
Well, two different shirts.
Oh, so.
Well, there you guys go, kids. Go annoy pedestrians in front of your house.
Shirt trivia. That's what you should ask them.
Yeah, shirt trivia.
That's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
I don't know. I think that was 2 hours.
See, if it was if it was me, Rox would be like, so black, is it a color or a value?
Is it absence of color, other light? Yes.
And does it have the same value as orange?
Octarine.
Orange is new black. Sorry.
That was like two seasons ago, right?
Three.
Three seasons, my.
I think the third and final season is starting.
Well, does she get max sentence or does she get out?
Yeah. So, did you guys see the Rogue Nation trailer?
I was about ready to bring that up. That is insane. That's batshit insanity.
But you know what the batshit insanity is?
That Tom Cruise is still alive?
That Tom Cruise actually did that stunt on the side of the plane, went up to about 5,000 feet, attached to the side of a plane.
Well, of course it did.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Scientology has convinced him he's immortal. Of course he's going to do that shit. He don't care. Or maybe that's his way of trying to get out of Scientology. It's like, well, if I die, you know, he has no will to live anymore.
Are you so sure of that?
Yeah, Ghost Protocol. I watched the behind the scenes shit on that. That was insane because he actually was on the tallest building in the world outside of it, jumping around on cables.
I'm surprised they allow him to do that because the insurance company must not be too thrilled about that.
Cosette said the same thing. I mean, he is obviously one of the executive producers on it, but still.
You know, I wonder still with his track record recently, if he's that much of a draw anymore. I mean, he's still good, but is he, would it still warrant a huge, massive policy?
Well, I would say yes, because he's his name value alone for a film is still a bit of a draw.
Not for whatever they called his last movie.
What, Jack Reacher?
No. The sci-fi one. They changed the name
of
it.
Edge of Tomorrow was a great film, though.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying
just
in the box office, it sort of...
What was that?
I don't know. That was a grunt, maybe?
What?
Or
okay, Edge of Tomorrow had a $178 million production budget. Worldwide, it more than doubled that. So it was not a breakaway success, but still did well. And, Oblivion, which was shit.
Yeah.
Only did 89 domestically, but with a $120 million production budget, but did 286 worldwide. So worldwide, he's still a huge draw.
So worldwide, the world has no taste.
No, I wouldn't say that, because Jack Reacher was decent.
Well, I'm talking about Oblivion.
Well, I mean, we
oh,
know.
Oh, well.
Well, I mean, everybody has their own guilty pleasure. So,
I know. Explosions need no translation. I know.
I mean, Ghost Protocol did $694 million worldwide, so there's your reason to do Mission Impossible 5 right there. That was on a production budget of $145 million.
Now
I know that's what we're talking about. Welcome to the podcast, Scott. Yeah, I will say that basically his it looks like Mission Impossible has been for the longest time his highest grossing films.
So how do they justify him doing his own stunts? I mean, how do they clear that with an insurance company?
I have no idea. Not a fucking clue. I mean, he's insane.
Or maybe now that they set up Jeremy Renner as, like, you know, his second. If something happens to Tom Cruise, they're not completely screwed. So they'll have an in memoriam, and then they'll put up Jeremy Renner as the new Ethan Hunt or whatever you call him.
Well, I think basically they had brought in Jeremy Renner, like, you know, basically what they did on Bourne, which was to give – I mean, he was the out for Matt Damon to not do another Bourne film, which Matt Damon's coming back to, and he was the out for Tom Cruise to get out of Mission Impossible. So basically he's been the the backup star for two franchises, both of which the leads don't want out of. Although, to be fair, the whole Matt Damon thing was that he wanted Paul Greengrass to come back and be the director again, and he wouldn't do it without him. So that's why that, what is it, Born 5 or whatever it is happening.
Born again?
Born free. Anyway.
I don't think he works for free.
No, he does not.
Oh, hell no.
Scientology won't allow him to do that.
That's true.
Speaking of which, apparently there's a really good Scientology, what do you call it?
Documentary?
Documentary coming on HBO here.
It's going clear, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Yes. Yeah.
I just finished watching Citizen 4, which was the story of, what's his nose? Not WikiLeaks guy, but the other guy that released all the...
Snowden.
Yeah.
I saw that. It was good.
Oh, it was really good. It was fascinating because... You know, his whole take was that from the very beginning is he didn't want to be the story, but he knew at some point he was gonna have to come clean, and he knew from the get go that he was gonna get himself in trouble. He didn't try to hide from it. He just said, well, this is what it is. I think it's wrong, so thereby, but I'm gonna do it anyway. The funny part about it is that not funny, but. The reason why it was called Citizen 4 is because there's three other guys that also did the same thing, essentially. They didn't release it to the public, but they spoke out against the NSA. They worked internally at the NSA, and they spoke out and tried to get them to stop being dicks. And the NSA obviously wanted nothing to do with it. But the amount of lies that the NSA told. I mean, not that I'm really surprised, to be honest with you, but because I am a grown adult and understand how the world works. But the fact that they would continue even after being caught, continue to lie.
Yeah, that seems to be.
This is the thing that bothers me. Is like when we find out about these secret organizations, you read about like the CIA and the FBI and places like that. It's not that they're evil. It's most of the time they're not very good.
Well,
if we're going to have an evil organization that cares nothing of our civil rights, at least be competent. God damn it.
Well, I mean, it's very upsetting. I guess the more
upsetting... Why isn't Rox running the NSA? Or the CIA. ISIS would be
Scott,
gone.
Scott, I have my own agenda. I had to turn it down.
Yeah, so basically...
Oh, why?
Scott, hang on. Let me just explain. Because I can say this, because Rox legally cannot. Is that basically, if Rox was running a secret organization, guess what? You wouldn't know about it. It'd be a fucking secret.
she'd tell me. We're friends.
Well...
Oh, that's what you think. She's got your fingerprints. She talked to Disney.
Oh, God.
The fact that he got away.
Oh, my God. She's running Disney.
Ooh.
That's what it is. It's not Iger. It's her.
I cannot possibly comment on that, Scott.
Speaking as her non-attorney, she can neither confirm nor deny that allegation.
I might possibly think that, but she can't possibly comment.
Yes.
But we urge you not to think it for your own health and safety.
Do not think of the dog park. Or the Disney park.
Think of Ray Park.
Oh, I do. He's not working, is he?
Probably. I would assume so.
He's doing some motion capture somewhere. I'm sure he's not doing any dialogue.
He would have made a great Iron Fist, I'm just saying.
You know what? You're probably right. Instead, they've hired Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, God.
No, they have not.
No, he's...
National Nightmare.
He was in G.I. Joe Retaliation. It wasn't his fault. He was in a film called Jin, which I've actually heard of, but I have no idea what it is. And then...
Jin as in Genie or Jin as in Antonic?
Jin as in Genie.
Okay.
And apparently there is the upcoming Mortal Kombat X Generations TV series that he has got a part in. What is this? I have no idea what this is. How very strange.
I can't remember if we've talked about this, but I'm kind of curious, which, and this may be something I think we've talked about before in, like, Make the Bad Men. With all the stuff that they're turning into series, like Man in the High Castle, 12 Monkeys, and like, is there something that you would like them to turn into a series that hasn't yet? Something to escape from Devimental? Fuck.
No, I don't know about anything I'd like to escape from. Fuck.
That was, development hell.
Was that the porn version of Escape from Witch Mountain?
Ooh!
Ew. Oh, wow. That term,
what is it? Is it 40 or 45 years? Escape to Witch Mountain.
I don't know.
That movie's got like an anniversary.
I would say, like, for example, they're developing The Stand as a two-part feature film.
40 years.
Okay.
Oh. Came out in 75.
But I'm like, really, The Stand would make a great series. Just do it. Because here's what I miss. And see if you guys disagree. I miss the television maxi series, like Lonesome Dove and Centennial and shit. Ooh. Those used to be a big deal.
The Bastard and Roots.
Yeah, those were huge things.
Yes,
I would love to see those come back.
Hawaii.
Oh, God. Yeah. My whole thing about Michener was that he used to just spin a globe and close his eyes and point, and wherever he hit and wherever the globe stopped, that would be the title of his next book.
So when he missed the globe, that's where he got space?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, whoa! Oh, space, okay.
Like, oh, damn. That's how Dan Brown got his start. He was editing for Michener. Hey, if he could do that, I could do it with a mystery. Hey.
Yeah, I think The Stand would make a great series on, like, you know, hell, I don't know. These days it could wind up anywhere, you know, except Fox, which has a tendency to cancel things.
I know, but the problem with all of even Stephen King's good stuff, it's always the ending that's always.
Yeah, but you could fix it. You could fix it. And really, the ending of The Stand is. From his endings, not the weakest one out there.
No, you're right.
I mean, it at least made, you could make that make more sense. You know, at least it's not the ending of It. Which they're also redoing.
Yes.
But yeah, I'd like to see The Stand. I'd like to see some more, I think something like Why the Last Man would be excellent as a television series rather than the feature film they were trying to make it as. But any of that Vertigo shit, you've really got to have it on someplace like HBO to really do it, because there's certain shows that you watch and you could just tell the writers wished they weren't on network television.
Yes. Well, yeah, The Dome is prime example.
Yeah. Is that, well, that's going to run, what, 7 seasons, Rox?
The Dome was an ill-conceived idea to begin with.
Oh, dear God.
Well, that should have been, again, a maxi series. It should have been done.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I never did read the book.
And not done by the producers of Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, yes. So they have renewed it for a third season.
Really? Why?
I don't know. I don't watch it.
Now, are they the ones? Is CBS the ones making it, or is it somebody else?
That's a good question. Where's the production? Da-da-da-da.
Because if it's CBS, it probably explains why they're giving it more leeway. It's not as expensive.
CBS is co-producing it with Amblin Television and one other company. That I've never
heard
of.
So it's probably not as expensive, so there's not as much of a bar.
No.
Yeah, he's the it's done by the production company of a guy who apparently wrote a bunch of SVU episodes and ER episodes. So.
Oh, speaking of Stephen King, did you see his smackdown of Maine's governor?
No. What is this?
Oh, yeah. Where was it? I have to find specifically what the Maine governor was bitching at him about. He was complaining about, like, how Maine has too many taxes and the usual Republican bullshit. And he said that very famous Maine people have left because of the taxes, like Stephen King. And then Stephen King went on Twitter and says, no, I live in Maine. I pay my taxes. And basically called him a liar.
Well, take that, Mr. Politician.
Yeah. And speaking of letters to governors.
Who checks their shit for them? That's what bugs me. I mean, is it just they're so used to lying they don't even bother anymore?
Scott, you would like this. Gen Con.
I saw that. Good for them.
Is threatening the governor of Indiana over the controversial
yes.
SB 101. This comes from Polygon.
The Hate the Gays bill.
Yes. Now, Gen Con is as big as Dragon Con.
$50 million.
Yes.
Into Indiana.
56,000 people show up from 40 different countries and all 50 different, all the 50 states. So anyway, for more than a decade, because they used to be in Wisconsin, they've been in Indianapolis, and they're like, hey, we will move anywhere. So part of the letter is legislation that could allow for refusal of service or discrimination against our attendees will have a direct negative impact on the state's economy and will factor in our decision making on hosting the convention in the state of Indiana in future. We ask you please reconsider your support of SB 101. Good for them.
You know what this is, right?
What?
Oh, I know. I'm asking these two. You know what this is, right? This bill?
Explain.
No.
Oh. Basically, it's one of these laws that says that supposedly protecting the rights of certain Christians to discriminate against gay people because gay people are supposedly icky.
Yeah, they don't want to serve them soda and stuff.
And they don't want to make them wedding cakes. See, this is the thing that bugs me about – the thing is, how do you prove your religious conviction? So you can get away with this. That's my thing. I mean, do you have to get sprinkled with holy water? Do you have to take a test? And it's just, I don't know. I mean, it just, I don't know. It's very weird. I mean, I keep seeing like some sort of like government official going to these places and having them do like a form and seeing that they passed all the various things to show that they have like serious religious conviction to do this. I don't know.
Scott, do you know?
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I know for some people gay sex is icky, fine, whatever, but does it mean that you have to like totally violate the Constitution?
Yes.
Yes.
Or that you don't want another minority
Rock
to
Lobster.
Not be... What? Are we trying to change the subject here? Where's my cue? Where's my cue? You faded out too early. Do it again.
Cue crickets.
Fucked it up. You fucked it up. You have one job. So-called audio engineer, and you fucked it up. God.
I'm just waiting to see where he brings it back.
but this is a little less. Did you see Henry Rollins? Wait.
Everybody's rockin'.
there's your cue.
That's not my cue. That's what happens. Hey. That's what happens after.
It's not the cue that you want, but it's a cue that you need.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
You know what the key to comedy is, right?
Timing.
Timing. So what about Henry Rollins?
He put out.
We've been here for 5 hours.
I have
hours.
To find out specifically where he did it, but he made a very nice sort of rant about people being freaked out about gay marriage and shit. And he explained a lot where it came from for him, because he actually had a friend who was when he was in school. He had a friend who was gay and basically got greenlit by a teacher to. And, you know, basically all the students made fun of him, so he killed himself. So gay rights is very important to him. And I did not know that about him. So I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, Scott, you need to go and look up his plan to destroy the Ku Klux Klan. It's genius. I can't possibly do it justice, but he has mentioned that bit several times, at least on a couple CDs, but definitely at live shows that he's done, his spoken word shows. And it is quite amusing. And I think you would totally be on board with it.
Hold on. Let's see here. That's true.
What's that? What's true?
Yeah, I would not be surprised if a lot of them aren't a little swishy.
Is this much true?
So you're in the Ku Klux Klan. What?
Okay, Rox is leaving us.
Bye.
Bye, Rox.
Bye.
Have a meeting tomorrow. Bye.
Yep, she's getting the rest of our fingerprints.
Wait, does that say I have to Scott?
Oh, wait.
No, I don't have to Scott.
Scoot.
Oh, I need a Scott. That's what it says.
Scoot.
I need to scoot. And plus it's a lower case S.
Yeah, and scoot is how they say Scott's name in Canada.
Scoot A.
No, doesn't have that extra U.
You want to do introductions now?
Oh, I'll stay for this and then I'll leave.
Okay, fine. We'll do introductions because we still have Rox. All right, so we're doing introductions and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
This is the Weekend Justice Podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck. We're located here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Rox is with us. Hi, Rox.
Hi. Bye.
Bye. We have Scott C is with us.
Religious liberty, my ass.
And we have John for the Neat Geek. Hi, John.
Out of Context Theater is your friend.
Yes, it is. And then there were three.
Yeah, we're pretty light this evening.
Thanks, I've been trying to lose weight.
I know your ass is looking particularly good right now.
Wah, wah, wah. Oh, dear.
So we got to do this for another hour?
It's what the fans expect.
We have fans?
You mean the fan yes. expects?
Yeah, the fan. It's what the fan expects.
What, are there any other shows we need to discuss?
I don't know.
I'm not caught up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm like 3 episodes behind now at this point.
Oh, well, you haven't even come back from the break.
No, I came back from the break. Well, because there's one tonight, that's why. There's been 4 episodes, and I've only seen the one that came back from the break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be interested to see if they do the tie-in with it as much as they did with Thor the Dark World and Winter Soldier.
I wonder if that's why it seems like this half of the season seems so speedy, is because they have to get to some point where they can hook up with Age of Ultron. Which I can't discuss some of these things because John hasn't seen it yet.
Oh, you can discuss like, it all you want. Andrew? It's not like I'm not going to see it.
Well, no, like how they pretty much took a huge chunk out of Hydra in one episode.
Well, yeah, that was the first episode. That was the first episode back.
Okay, you have seen that. Okay, but you see what I mean.
Well, and then you find out that Skye is actually the Impossible Woman, so that's her powers. That was a huge... I did not see that coming. It's not being humans at all. It's the denizens of pop-up.
Yeah, but it is interesting. I mean, I wonder how much their show is governed by what the movies... You know what I mean? I mean, how much is at their own pace and how much is like, oh, we have to be at this so it can link up with...
Well, I mean, they are in the MCU, so that's kind of comes with the territory.
I'm just curious how much, you know, how much freedom they have as opposed to there's like this central line that they have to go with.
Well, I know that, for example, they were told going into the series that they couldn't even mention Hydra because the whole Winter Soldier reveal was going to be such a big deal and was executed so well. I think, and you recall they skipped a week, and I think that was to line them up with Dark World so they could come in after that and do the cleanup. So, I mean, I think you're going to see them not tie in with something like, you know, Ant-Man, but with Avengers, considering what's going on in the trailer. I don't know how they can avoid it. And at some point, the Avengers need to learn that Coulson's alive.
That's the thing, though. I mean, sooner or later, I mean, do you think they still don't know and they just haven't done that scene for some reason?
I don't think they know because, I mean, really the only person who knows that would have had any interaction with the Avengers at this point, to our knowledge, is Sif. And Sif was told not to tell anybody.
But haven't they had some? They haven't had any interactions with Stark Industries at all through Maria Hill. See, that's what I'm wondering.
Well, they might, you know, she might have said something to Tony, but I don't know. I don't think they would have squandered the whole reveal of Coulson off screen, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I think they need to do it soon because the longer they do it, the longer it gets. Because more and more people, especially
the longer they do it, the longer it gets.
Penis
well,
humor.
You know, the longer they keep doing this, the longer it'll look more ridiculous that they don't know about it because it's been what, like a year and a half since it's been almost like a year that he's sort of been out from under director Fury's sort of thing about, you know, no, you can't tell anybody. That made no sense. I'm sorry.
We're used to it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Welcome to Weekend Justice.
Yeah.
Fuck all of y'all.
No, that was on me.
No, it's just I would really love to hear some. I don't know. There may be some stuff out there, but I would love to hear some of the things about the writers of how much Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is their own thing, as opposed to how much they have to devote to, like, the overall MCU.
Well, stuff. I think part of your deal is that because they are such a worldwide organization handling supposedly so much stuff, they sort of have to deal with it in order for it to make sense. I mean, that's one of the things where you have, like, the fact that – well, I wonder how the – like, for example, the Netflix television shows, they are supposed to be in the MCU continuity. I'm wondering how time-wise they're going to be tied in, because – obviously, Daredevil is not the sort of series, based on the trailer, that you want to see him, you know, doing basically the equivalent of the Crisis Red Skies crossover.
Right. But they've also said, at least with Daredevil and some of the other shows in Netflix, that they are going to wait on doing stuff with the MCU because they want to feel like they've earned that entry in there. So I think they're maybe a hit here or there, but they're going to avoid anything major for at least the first season.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, they have in the trailer established that they are in that continuity, and all four shows are going to be in the same continuity, so they're set.
But it seems like they're going to be outside illustrating another area of the MCU. It's just do they have, like, a central office that looks like all the big MCU stuff? And then they passed out directives to the various shows and stuff.
Well, you could do this. They have not really showrunners, but they have sort of universe runners. My understanding is that's sort of the brain trust that's Quesada and Bendis and those guys. That they sort of.
Oh, and Fahey? How do you ever say his name?
Oh, Kevin Feige? I think it's Feige.
Feige, whatever.
I'm sure he's in on it. But, I mean, I think it's like with the comics where with Marvel, they meet like once a year and decide what their direction is because they have all this various stuff happening that they have to inflict on the creative team so they can't really get anything done in their own books.
You mean like whatever this new earth-shattering event is now?
Yeah, Secret Wars, yeah. And apparently DC Convergence is not officially bringing back the pre-52 universe, so they're going ahead with the new 52 continuity, which means that I probably won't be reading any of it.
Assuming that the new 52 continuity makes any fucking sense to begin with.
Well, it doesn't, so. But I think it's just weird that you've got, again, DC and Marvel doing basically the Volcano and Dante's Peak approach of trying to realign their various and sundry universes, especially when they both kind of have a structure in place that allows them to do any goddamn thing that they want without anybody saying shit. So,
well, that was the thing, though. I mean, especially Marvel. DC not so much, but Marvel was basically like saying, like, you know, sort of like with major events, like when did Galactus show up? Oh, a few years ago. When did the Fantastic Four do their flight thing? Oh, a few years ago. They weren't very specific.
7 years ago, yeah.
About the past. Another thing they were specific about the past was, you know, Captain America being frozen. And that just happened longer and longer and longer. You know, they gave themselves that flexibility. I mean, have they said why they're doing this, or was it really they felt needed to realign shit, or what's the deal? Or is it just that I don't know.
I mean, I don't, it all depends on what comes out of it. And right now they've got all these weird mashup titles that they're doing in the wake of Secret Wars on the Marvel side. So I don't know what's going to fall out of that. I mean, obviously, you would think that they were wanting to probably align the comic books with the movie continuity a bit more. But again, there's nothing stopping them from having an MCU line within the Marvel universe, because it's already established that it's its own universe. I forget which number it is, but I mean, that's the thing that I don't.
I looked this up. It's 1999999.
Oh, okay.
It's 199,999.
So hang on. No, it was actually announced. We're recording this on the 24th of March. They are officially, the Russo brothers have officially signed on for Infinity War 1 and 2.
Ooh.
And there's much rejoicing?
I think so.
Well, since they did Winter Soldier, yeah.
Yeah, they did Winter Soldier, they're doing Civil War.
Yeah, my only thing with that, of course, is, and I'm sure that they'll be fine, but the Wachowskis did The Matrix and then everything else. So, I mean.
Well, I wonder how much of that was. What was the thing? God, what did I read? Hang on. I actually read a script of theirs. I'm blanking on it. And when it
Speed
came
Racer?
Out, it was V for Vendetta.
Right. Which wasn't
the
terrible.
The script was actually really good. And then the movie was less good.
It wasn't horrible.
But it was less good.
But yeah, my point, that's my point. I guess that's kind of where I'm going with this is that, well, I mean, I hope that they do a great job, obviously. But just because they had success in one area does not necessarily guarantee success in another area.
No, this is true.
You know, who knows? It might have been the reason why it works for they worked for Winter Soldier was because of the limited number of characters they had to deal with, specifically just around Captain America, as opposed to even though you had the Falcon and Black Widow in there, but it wasn't they were all being driven by Captain America. Now going to some other thing, it might not going to where it's more of an ensemble piece, it might not work as well. So, but I'm hoping that everything goes well.
Well, we get to see basically how they do with an ensemble piece because I mean, Civil War.
True. Fair
you
enough.
Got Tony Stark in that one. The Falcon's coming back. So they're going to be busy.
What do we feel is going to happen with Tony Stark here, with Iron Man specifically? I guess not Tony Stark. Come, Iron Man 4 or what have you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could.
Because rumor also has that Chris Evans wants to get out of being Captain America, too.
Well, he does. And they've already set up the fact that you could bring in the Winter Soldier to replace him, like they've done in the comics.
Well, currently, now it's Falcon is the
currently it's the Falcon. Yeah. Yep. So I mean, so you've got basically two other characters that you could have step up and become Captain America, and you've got Don Cheadle who could step up and become Iron Man. So I mean, they've sort of planned to move forward, but the question is, does I'm sadly blanking on the guy who played Bucky Winter Soldier.
Shaw something?
Sebastian Shaw, right? Or is that...
Right.
For Sebastian a second there, Stan.
Am I remembering him or the guy from...
Sebastian Shaw was the leader of the
right.
Hellfire Club.
Right, that's what I was going
right,
to say.
That's what it was like, wait, is that him or is the other guy? So...
Yep. So, I mean, the question is, do you get to a point where Disney and Marvel feel that, can you have Sebastian Stan in the Captain America suit, or Anthony Mackie for that matter, carry a film like Chris Evans can? Now, part of what they would do with that is they'd obviously cast big for your villains, So you'd have the big name person, you know, your big name cast on the other side. But, you know, same thing with Don Cheadle if he became Iron Man. Can Don Cheadle top line a film? I mean, and don't get me wrong, I think all three of those actors are fantastic, especially Don Cheadle, because he can act his ass off.
But is the draw the star now, or is this a Marvel movie?
Exactly. I mean, that's kind of what they proved with
Guardians.
Guardians.
I mean, who knew Chris Pratt was?
Well, I did because I watched him on Parks and Rec, but.
Right, but he wasn't huge like he is now.
Yeah, he wasn't about to be in the Jurassic Park 4 and the new Indiana Jones.
Right. And technically, he wasn't huge in Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, no, he lost all that weight.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to go down that route.
Oh, well, because jokes are funnier when you have to explain them. But no, I mean, Scott, that's the question, is do you get to the point where you don't have to have a top-line star to...
It's like Pixar.
Well, and
for the longest time, you didn't care. I mean, especially for Pixar movies, it's not... I mean, the voices are nice, but, you know, Pixar was like, okay, we'll go see this. Maybe not as much now, but still.
Well, and you know, looking back over what they've done, honestly, the film that had, I think, the most unknown actor in it was probably Thor with Chris Hemsworth at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that turned out okay. So, I mean, I don't know. I would love for them to move on from it because I think that gives you some great opportunities to, you know, not get stagnant and not have this thing where, well, we've changed actors, now we've got to fucking reboot everything.
Or what they can do is let Iron Man rest for a little bit, and then when he comes back and they bring in a new actor, it's not quite as jarring.
Well, and even then, when they replaced Ed Norton with I'm blanking on my name. I have lost all the neurons that
Ruffalo.
Have
names. Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, thank you. I mean, they basically with one line set up, yeah, he's Bruce Banner now, and I think everybody just ran with it.
So that's I think it's different if it was like Robert Downey Jr. or another name.
Oh yeah. No, I mean part of the thing is that and the reason why I think it's such an issue with Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. is because they are seen so much as the role that you'd be hard pressed to replace them.
I think Marvel. I would not be surprised if Marvel is worried that they might fall into a Christopher Reeves situation.
There's more than one.
Somebody who is just so perfect as Superman, and then they have to. Find somebody else, and they just can't quite capture that same man.
Well, I think you could probably, like I said, I think you could probably make the transition, but
would you still have the same lightning in the bottle? I think that's what worries them.
Well, no, and again, they've proven that, like you said, Marvel is what people are showing up for, and after Guardians of the Galaxy, I think people trust that Marvel's going to show them a good time. I will say that the thing about Tony Stark being Iron Man and being more out front rather than the armor just makes it harder for them to lose Robert Downey Jr. because he truly is Tony Stark. So, and they replaced Rhodey as well with Don Cheadle. They didn't even.
Oh, that's right.
They didn't have a line addressing that. Yeah, it was just,
well,
I think it's those two you'd have the most problem with, like you said, with. Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, because they are very good and very iconic in the role. So it'd be like, you probably have that kind of problem. Now with Captain America, you could probably get away with having, like you said, Falcon or somebody be Captain America for a while. But sooner or later, like you do in all comics, you bring back.
Well, I think at a certain point you can't go back. So you have to simply go forward unless you're going to have the MCU, you know, just end, which I don't see them doing. So I would say that it might be one of those things where you have him, he's the captain, or he could become director of S.H.I.E.L.D., or he could anything. And like I said, with Infinity War, you have the added benefit of anybody who doesn't want to actually be in the film can be one of the people that Thanos zaps out of existence, you know, because there's going to be some of those if you need to take a breather. And I think with Chris Evans, part of the deal with him is with Downey Jr., it's probably cash. But with Chris Evans, he wants to direct. And like I said before, if I was Disney, I would say, how would you like a sweet distribution deal? Seriously, how would you like to never have to worry about where are my movies going to be distributed ever again? How would you like that? So,
or say, you know, we've got all these other movie, or say, hey, you've got a project, we'll look at it.
Does Disney still have its...
That's just what I was saying. What?
Does Disney still have its basically indie distribution?
They still have I think they still have Miramax.
No, they don't.
They don't have the Weinsteins, but they still have Miramax.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yes, the Weinstein Company is the Weinsteins now. They do still have Miramax. I don't know. Are they active? I don't know.
I think Miramax is still putting stuff out. So if I think there are enough, like, studios, so to speak, within the Disney umbrella that if Chris Evans had something, they could say.
No, they don't.
Oh.
Miramax was sold to Disney by Disney to Filmyard Holdings, a joint venture that was done in 2010.
I'm sure if Chris Evans had a project, Disney would say, hey, we could look at this. You know, we could see about Ed. You know, we have this new Captain America script, just saying.
That's again what I was saying. But anyway. Chris Evans directs Honey, I Shrunk the Kids 5.
Well, they have the rights to it. I'm sure Disney wouldn't mind.
So anyway.
Recommendations?
Yeah, I think it's probably about that time.
Oh, before we go that far.
Yeah.
iZombie, did anybody watch iZombie?
I have not watched it yet.
Oh, how did have you?
No, I have not. I was just wondering if anybody else has. And the other thing, Better Call Saul. Anybody watching Better Call Saul? You didn't watch. You haven't watched Breaking Bad yet, have you, Widge?
No, I stopped and never started back up again.
Okay. I'm trying to think. If you haven't watched Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul still stands on its own. It's a really, really entertaining sort of. Dark. I don't even know how to explain it. But Bob Odenkirk does a great job as Saul. So, or Jimmy, whatever his last name is. Anyway, okay, moving on.
All right, so we'll stumble drunkenly towards recommendations. Scott, I guess it's you going first.
Well, I'm the only one left. I actually found a book called Cabal the Necromancer. And it's kind of in the vein of the late, great Terry Pratchett, where you have this necromancer called Johann Cabal, and he sold his soul to the devil to gain the knowledge of necromancy.
As you do.
But he finds that not having a soul is... somehow interferes with scientific experiments. And that does not make him happy. So he finds a way to go down to hell, to Satan, and complain. Satan is amused by this. So he gives
Johan, a diabolical carnival to tempt 100 souls in a year for his one. And, of course, the problem is Johan, I think charitably could call him autistic, because certain things don't make sense to him. Like when he's looking at all the sites or attractions he can use, he finds one called Lydia the Latex Lady, and he doesn't get the appeal. So, you know, it's sort of him trying to understand, a lot of it is him trying to understand why the hell people are acting like this. This makes no sense. And trying to find people to get them to sign contracts to say, and it's actually very darkly humorous. Because yes, the man raises people back from the dead into unshambling horrors and the like, but there's something about him that he's like Hannibal. The man, you know, he's evil and terrible, but there's just something about him you like. So I found it to be a very interesting read. It is called Cabal the Necromancer. And that's it for right now. I haven't really seen anything new lately, or just I've been busy with other stuff, so I haven't really had a chance to hit anything newish so far, so. One more thing. I think I recommended this before, but if you really need to watch this show, The Americans on FX. I mean,
or if you
the
have
scene
Amazon,
where they put the body in the luggage and they use very accurate sound effects. Well, just
how many bodies have you put into luggage so that
I too am curious.
Well, Rox told me. Anyway.
Allegedly.
Right. And the scene where the two spies have like this intimate, almost sensual moment of him removing a tooth out of her mouth.
Soft and sexy.
Almost. No, the acting in this just blows your fucking mind. It's amazing. And you really should watch the show. I know the premise sounds ridiculous, but it really does. They play it straight, and it really is amazing. And it doesn't get nearly enough attention. So The Americans and Cabal the Necromancer. And that's it. I'm done. There you go.
All right. Cool. For myself, I was just double checking because I looked earlier, and we're sort of in the what passes for doldrums until the summer fully hits and shit goes crazy. So although you have like Fast and the Furious 6 is, you know, being re-released on Blu-ray, getting ready for Furious 7, you know, stuff like that. But so the one thing that I could find that I don't think I had recommended before was an album called Movement. And it's by Gerardo Frisina, who I think I was trying to see where he was from. I heard him first on Giles Peterson from BBC Radio 6. And then I heard him again on Craig Charles. So just picked up the album. It's an excellent, excellent album. The if you want to hear the track that I had first gotten turned on to the album with, it's What Is Jazz is the name of the track. And again, that's off of the album Movement. And God, what was that?
It was a movement.
Yes, it was movement. What is loud noise? Again, I looked back and there's, you know, there's just not much coming out at the moment that is, you know, the high point of Blu-ray releases in the past little bit is Troop Beverly Hills. So.
Seriously?
Oh, no. Mark of the Devil. That's a good one. Mark of the Devil. I have their radio ad on my iPod because it's amusing. That's about it. So, John, what have you got?
I'm going to recommend something I think that I've recommended before, but I'm going to recommend it again, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is Firefly the Board Game. We have recently, I keep meaning to put this picture up, but for the past 2 weeks, is basically consumed my dining room table. And by the way, you do need a dining room table that seats 8 in order to play this four-player game, because it is massive in the amount of stuff that is required to play the game. However,
so Lee's family would enjoy it. They really don't like games that take less than 3 hours to set up.
Oh, it's well.
Don't remind me.
My kids always joke that they threaten to call or to write to the different various game companies because it says, "Oh, 2 hours to play." 6 hours later, it's to say we're still on the same show, on the same game. Yeah. So the last we've gone 3 rounds now. One of which, what do you call it? We spent last week, basically we did about 2 hours a day, for 5 days. So about almost 10 hours worth of gameplay to get through.
God, that's longer than the series.
It literally is almost longer than the series.
Nice. Although Scott, to be fair, it did occur in the right order.
Yes, the game is being played correctly.
And of course it was much longer than Eastwick.
So actually, interestingly, my son has gotten way into this, right? And he would every night he'd go back and look at the board, and then he'd start taking notes on what he was going to do, what the order of things, a to-do list, basically, of things he had to do in order to win the game. Okay, I got to go over here, and I have to go to Persephone and purchase this thing. Okay, I'm gonna have to go over. You know, literally, he was taking notes on what his next series of moves were going to be for the next time that we played.
Have him and the kidlet met?
Yeah, they have. Of course they have.
Oh, God.
Well, Widge played Munchkin with my kids.
No, it's that just, was an I interesting, imagine, like...
That was an
like,
interesting night when I learned that you can force someone to help you, even in your last turn, and win. But anyway. So yeah, Firefly, the board game, I've seen it on Amazon anywhere from $39 to $40, but here's the deal. So we're playing the game, and then the kids had never watched Firefly. And so now they're kind of watching Firefly. Of course, I keep telling my son you're going to be sadly disappointed when we get to episode 13, and that is it. You're done. But the...
Well, he's got to learn sometime about disappointment.
Right. But the game is so faithful and has so many details from the actual series, and it's not just like, you know, a lot of times you'll have these games that are based on television or based on a movie or whatever, and they're just kind of, you know, going through the motions. It's just, you know, just branded something else. This has such unique gameplay. It's really, really good. I mean, I can't say enough about it. It's a thoroughly...
So it's not Firefly Monopoly.
No, it is not Firefly Monopoly. It is its own thing, but it takes that universe and really expands it out. So the Firefly, the board game, I highly recommend. And Firefly, the television series, I don't, because why would you want to be so sad? And by the way, I did buy that board game by going to needcoffee.com/Firefly is available on Amazon as a boardgame.com. So
yes, something like that. But yes, actually, if you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yes. Then basically you get redirected to the front page of Amazon, and anything you purchase in that session, we get kickbacks for, which is extremely helpful. It doesn't
Please
matter.
Please buy something. We need
the money. If it's a $99 thing or a 99-cent thing, it all counts towards
Please.
Towards helping us out. So,
Please give us money.
That is your friend.
Please. Give us money. We need Please. Money. Give us money.
Give us money so we can afford to get Scott someone else in a wheelchair that he can push around Epcot and get arrested. So...
The money will be for bail.
The money, yeah, that's true. We do need money. We've completely depleted the bail fund since last Dragon Con, so we do need to bolster that back up again. But I think with that, and the fact that everyone is probably asleep, having squeed themselves into a coma by watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
I think it was. We will now adjourn this episode.
Oh my God, we're like a half hour early.
We were like a half hour over last time, so don't even worry about it. Which will be going up shortly.
That's what I was going to say, and nobody's heard about that, so.
Yeah, yeah. You will, though.
But by the time you hear this, yeah, you will have heard that.
It's all timey-wimey bullshit.
Yeah, in honor of Firefly, I actually put this one up first.
oh, God.
But no. So anyway, I think now, like we do with every...
Wait, one second. What, John, are you okay?
Oh, I think I am. Okay.
What yes. the hell?
I don't know. Anyway. Yes, things, words, stuff.
What?
Stuff is being said out of my mouth, right? I'm saying things? I can't help it. What?
Okay, John's having a stroke.
I very well might be.
Okay, God. Now we need to leave because
so that John can get medical attention. So, yeah. Yes, I think this is the point in the proceedings where we should all look at each other in amazement and say shockingly, Holy Land.
Holy Land. Holy Land. Simon went there and took lots of pictures. I don't think that they got that he was being ironic.
I think I'd like burst into flames if I went in there.
I think you ought to go in there.
I think Pride Day is a great idea.
Well, I mean, I wasn't.
Why do you want me to burst into flames?
I wasn't implying that, although, now that you mention it.
Fuck you.
John wants to bring marshmallows. Because that's what friends do.
Well, it's nearly Easter.
Friends,
we can roast peeps.
Friends don't let friends burn up in vain.
So he's trying to... When life hands you flaming lemons, make lemonade flambé.
Yeah, that made sense.
Why not?
It's Holy Land's official s'mores. What? I don't know.
God, I want peeps now. You know what they have now? They have flavored peeps. I saw them in Walgreens.
Aren't we your peeps? Oh, wait, you mean... Never mind.
Yeah. Try flavored peeps.
Careful, John. He'll offer to dip you in sugar and eat you.
Crunch.
Wait. Okay.
I'm just saying.
I think I was just completely creeped out for the first time ever on this podcast.
Seriously? The first time? Seriously?
Yeah.
Completely creeped out. He only usually hits about 60 or 70%.
Oh.
Gotta have limits.
The crunch threw me off. But also, why are you dipping peeps into sugar?
No, I'm just saying.
Isn't that a bit
redundant? Saying. Because they're already coated in sugar, so in order to get that peep experience, he would need to dip you in sugar.
Peep.
Wait, has anyone done a video online called Peepy Blinders, which has got peeps in those hats?
Oh.
Doing violence on other people?
Hold on, YouTube, where are you at?
If you haven't done this, Internet, that's a free idea. It's only free because I can't be arsed to do it.
Have you ever roasted peeps?
Blinder. I've set peeps on fire. Does that count?
Well, did you eat them afterwards?
No, because they were completely burned up and they were very toasty.
Well, see, that's the thing. They're actually – it's like a really red trash version. Red trash. God.
Red trash. God, why you got to be all racist?
That like a redneck version of creme brulee.
Redneck creme brulee is going to be my cover band. We're going to do all
cake.
We're going to do all Billy Ray Cyrus tunes, but it's a string quintet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's actually pretty good. It's actually
I know. Our first album is going to be amazing.
It's going to be only going to have one hit.
And then you're going to give birth to a trashy daughter.
What?
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Guy, Scott. I'm not going to give birth to anything. At least not human. You've been reading too much Garth Ennis.
More like Cronenberg.
There's a reference for you. Please don't look it up. You don't want to.
Yeah,
did you find it, Peepy Blinders?
No, there is no such thing yet. So
there okay,
you go.
It's what, a race.
There you go.
Throw it
it's
out there.
It's a race.
Throw it out there.
Who can do Peepy Blinders first?
I was going to say, throw it out there on Twitter and see what happens.
It's done. It's done. No, fuck Twitter. People have to come to this podcast to get the free ideas. On Twitter, we charge.
You figured out how to make money on Twitter?
Yeah.
And you're
hell
not Kim,
yeah.
And you're not Kim Kardashian? Kardashian.
I have not broken the internet with my ass, no. Shut up, Scott.
Have you broken your ass with the internet, though?
Yeah, oh, often. Often.
That sounds personal.
My ass has been in a sling because of the internet. Let's put it that way. God. All right, we should run away because...
Probably.
I think
we've just done an extra long coda, so I think we're good.
I think what we need to do is we actually need to do an episode where the episode is 5 minutes long, and then there's 2 hours and 55 minutes of a coda.
That's another free... Oh, wait, that's for us. Never mind. It wouldn't make sense if anybody else on the internet did.
But no, and it won't make sense when we do it either, but that's okay. So, all right.
I'll see you guys later.
Run away.
Bye.
Bye.
Anyway, see ya.
Bye.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
And here's Dakota.
What was that girl's name? I can't remember the name.